Up next, we'll have John and Christos, and they're going to talk to us about secure DevOps with the Microsoft Identity Platform.
Hey, thanks for coming,
guys.
Long time no see, my friend. How are you? Hey, what's up, everyone? Thanks for joining our session. We've been so excited building up to this event. So me and JP are going to talk to you about secure DevOps today. We got some amazing demos ahead of us. We spent a lot of time polishing them, and we couldn't be more excited about it. So let's start by saying who we are. Me and JP, or John, or John Patrick, we both work for the Microsoft Identity team. We're developer advocates, and we love working with developers and spending time with developers. So if you like what you see today, if you want to learn more about identity, make sure to join us on the 4 to 5 show. We tend to stream on Twitch and YouTube every Monday and Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 Eastern, 4 p.m. UK, and 5 p.m. Central European. I love that because I have to think in four different time zones. So we try to accommodate everyone. Come and build stuff with us. Bring your solutions, bring your questions, and make sure you you join us live. So today, what do we have today? Today we have love for everyone. We love developers, we love IT pros, we love anyone that is building anything with identity. And we love it so much that we want to accommodate all your security needs, all your developer needs, whether you're building for Azure, whether you're using .NET, obviously we hope you use Azure and .NET, but it doesn't matter if you're running on other platforms and solutions, then we also support you. So today you'll get a taster on how you can build secure apps end to end. We will show you how to build it on your local machine so, securely without any secrets. And I think we're taking a little bit of John Gallant's session earlier on. And then we will show you how to deploy that solution securely on Azure, and then how you can take it to the next level. A lot of demos there to show you step-by-step how you can achieve that. And we'll only scratch the surface. We have a lot more stuff coming over the next few weeks if you want to join us in the stream. So JP, you take it, my friend.
Hey, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you might be. So yeah, like Christos said, we want you to bring us what you've got, right? We want you to use our identity system regardless of what platform you're using. And so we've kind of gone out of our way to make sure that it's available for everybody. We spend a lot of time making sure libraries are available for sort of the top languages that people are working in. We take a lot of feedback in on what languages people need and what platforms people need to work with our identity systems. And so sort of what you see right now, we've got integrations with a lot of JetBrains products. We've got for Java and for .NET, and we're even working with them on some PyCharm work right now. We don't care what cloud you're hosted in. We don't care if you're hosted in AWS and Azure and GCP. It doesn't really matter where you're hosting your code. We want you to use our identity system and be secure and have confidence in that security. And we don't really care where you're running. In fact, you're going to see some stuff running today in very weird places. so you're going to see some stuff running in strange places today that you wouldn't expect, especially for some people who talk about Azure all the time. But of course, if you're using Azure, or if you're using the rest of the Microsoft stack, we've got a pretty tight integration all the way across the stack. So if you want to add authentication to your app, if you want to secure your APIs, if you want to work and interact with Azure, or when you're building your .NET app and you want to do that in a secure manner, we can absolutely offer plenty of things to keep you as a developer happy, and plenty of things to keep your IT administrators and operators happy, to have confidence that you are building an app that isn't going to be immediately breached or immediately on the front page of the news because your password database ended up on Troy Hunt's website. So we sort of feel like identity is one of those things that most developers, it's a checkbox, right? It's a checkbox in a list of, well, I've got to log these users in. How am I going to do it? They don't want to be identity pros and frankly don't have the time. If I've got a 200 item punch down list to get my app out the door, I don't have time to go be an OAuth and OpenID protocol pro, right? So our libraries reflect that. They reflect the reality that we think everybody, at least the majority of our developers that we work with are in, which is, I just need it to work, and I just need it to work really well, and I need to understand just enough about identity and security to feel confident that I'm building the right thing. So that's where we spend most of our time, is trying to sort of bring developers down the path of, I need to sign a user in. I need to deploy my app. What am I going to do? And that sort of brings us to today. So we're going to talk about the whole life cycle of both building things and deploying them. And then we're going to come all the way back around in a big circle back to building them again.
It's a development life cycle, right? So we need to show you how to do it around the circle. And yeah. Every time you do it, it should be more secure.
Sort of a merry-go-round of development life cycle we're going to go in here. So that's okay. So go ahead, Christos. Let's get going. What are you going to show us? What are you going to start with?
Well, I think that's enough slides for today, right?
Let's absolutely enough slides. That's three slides too many.
If only we didn't have any slides. Right. So let's talk a little bit about secure apps, like, or secretless apps. I think that's the best term, because you can have a secretless app and still not be secure, and you can think they have a secure app and it's not really secure. So one of the things that I've seen customers do, developers do, and you probably have seen as well, people that are joining us live have done it probably, I've done it myself, is having some kind of an app that uses some kind of a config file. In this instance, we have a simple .NET Razor page .NET 5 web app. And out of the box, you get an app settings.json. And we've seen people sticking all sorts of weird stuff there. Usually, you'll find API keys. You'll find connections to your SQL database. You'll find keys to your storage accounts or keys to other APIs. And one of the things that we definitely want to avoid you doing is checking these things into source control. Now, you might say, well, in local development, I can put them in environment variables. I can stick them in the secrets file because .NET supports it. But what happens when you move that application to production? How are you going to make it work? So in this instance, we only have a dummy, some config value that comes from Key Vault. And what we're going to show you today in this demo is the ability to do two things. One is to pull information to populate your config file at startup. So right now I have not a secret there. It's the default value. It could be some secret, something else like an API key, but I don't want to store that here. In fact, I could remove that not a secret value. And at startup, it would populate from Key Vault. Now you might see here, there's nothing that I'm using to populate Key Vault. There's no Key Vault keys. And it all happens through the magic of the Azure SDKs. So a big shout out to our friends, the Azure SDKs team. And as John says, I'm a person that loves his SDKs, but this wouldn't be possible without the SDK. So if I jump into my program.cs file, this is the file that bootstraps my web app. You notice that inside my host builder here, the create host builder method, we have a few lines of code. And in effect, it goes and bootstraps the Azure Key Vault and adds it to our configuration. And you'll notice that for us to authenticate, we need to pass the Key Vault value, which is the endpoint for the Key Vault. But there are no secrets here. I'm using the Azure CLI credentials. And when I move that to the cloud, when I move this app to the cloud, we'll see how that happens. It's going to use the managed identity. At this point, you might say, what is a managed identity? If you never used managed identities before, it's on Azure, we give you the ability, and I'll put a breakpoint here, but on Azure, we give you the ability to run specific services with an identity. So if you have a web app, if you have an Azure function, then they have an identity, a system assigned identity backed by Azure AD. And then that identity allows you to, once you provision the appropriate permissions, to go and speak to services like your storage account, your Key Vault, your SQL server. So that managed identity is managed by Azure. I don't have access to that. And since on my local machine, for now, I don't have a managed identity, I'm going to use my local credentials from the Azure CLI, which I've already logged in, to authenticate my account against Azure Key Vault, and then pull that information down and populate my config file. That means that when I run my app locally, it will authenticate against Key Vault, go and pull the information across and populate stuff. And we'll see that running in 1 second. Now, that's the first bit. Adding the configuration settings that are very, very sensitive, I don't want to check them into code, via this extension, the Azure Key Vault extension or adapter for .NET Core. Sorry, .NET 5. It's no more .NET Core. Right, okay. So that's the first bit. The second bit is the ability to pull information real time. So on this page, I have a Key Vault secrets Razor page. And in here, I'm actually instantiating a Key Vault client, right? That's a Key Vault client I'm pulling down from the Azure SDKs. And I'm instantiating that in the exact same way As you can see here, I'm passing the chain credential, and I am pulling a specific secret from my key vault. So that secret has already been configured, and I will just display that in the code. So let's go and run this one. So if I say .NET run, it should build our project and bring up Kestrel, and I'll be able to navigate to that page anytime now. There you go. So if I don't have to do that, I can actually jump to the browser. And if we do localhost 5000, there you go. Let me make this much, much bigger. So here on the homepage, I'm actually pulling the configuration setting. So that secret here is coming from Key Vault and is part of the config. But if I jump to my Key Vault secrets, you will see the exact same thing. Make it bigger. So the Key Vault secret is very important. Don't screw it up. As you can see, it's so important that we screwed it up. And then down here, rocking with JP.
Twice.
Messing it up. Thank you. Now, if we go back to our Key Vault, I can actually change my secrets because I can do that in real time. So let's change the Key Vault secret here. That's the one that we pull in real time. Let's put a new version. What should it be? Hello from .NET Conf.
That's a lot of letters to try to type without seeing them.
Let's see how close can I get without messing it up. So let's create the new version. So we're starting the new version. And if we refresh now, that's the wrong one. That's the live one. Right. There you go. Oh, so
close.
So close. So there you have it with a very few lines of code, right? Let's go back to the code very, very quickly. With very few lines of code, we can secure our app and remove any need for secrets. And that's lovely because now I can take the same application, the exact same code, and push it onto an Azure web app, and I will get the exact same thing. So that will be my next demo. Let's jump to the next demo. So for that to work, let me just stop this one here, and let's do git status. I think I've changed one file, so let's do git commit. No, let's add and a git commit here to send it all the way to Azure via our GitHub actions. So git commit .NET conf. And let's push this. Right. Pushing, done. Right, now let's switch to my GitHub action. So inside my GitHub repo, this is our code here. So we have the code that we just pushed here. We should see the last commit here, fantastic. And inside here, I have a workflow that I set up. This workflow is also designed to work without having any secrets. And in fact, we're doing a few more things than just deploying the web app. I have the standard template that pulls from main. Then I'm setting up my web app name in Azure. I'm also using .NET version 5. So you can start using it today. GitHub Actions and Azure web app support .NET 5 version. So there you have it. I'm going to check out my code. And then the next thing I'm doing is actually logging in to Azure using a Service Principal account. Now, this is very important. I have already created and provisioned a special account, a Service Principal account for Azure. That is a special account. Well, think of it as a service account for the cloud that allows me to first deploy solutions and ARM templates to infrastructure to Azure. And secondly, pull secrets from Azure. You might ask, why do you need to pull secrets? Well, I'll show you in a second. So the first thing we do is deploy the infrastructure. Our infrastructure consists of a web app, a web server farm, a web app, and then a SQL server. Imagine our app was calling SQL server. Now, for that to work, I need to provision a username and a password, and we'll see how we pull that information. So our ARM template deploys the infrastructure, and then we build and deploy the .NET solution, the .NET web app. Let's jump very quickly. You're not somewhere here. We use Azure credentials. Unfortunately, this was the lowest common denominator I could actually find. This was the minimum amount of credentials I had to pass. So when you create a Service Principal account, you can create one for provisioning apps. So you can do for RBAC and then SDK auth and pumps out some JSON. That JSON contains a secret, contains my client ID and some other information. that the Azure login is using to log in. And it's not the best, I know, but you have to store it somewhere. So that information is stored inside our settings. It is encrypted, but I still feel bad because I have to generate and use that. So I wonder if there's a better way to fix that. So these are our Azure credentials. I'm putting so many hints there for you guys. Right. Let's quickly look at the code because that's a nice bit here. So inside our deployment, we have an ARM template. We have an ARM template that uses a couple of parameters. So we talked about SQL Server. Now, TikTok, does this remind you of anything? I've seen people doing it over and over and over again. They will say, well, it's checked into source control. The secret is there. I might be passing it from somewhere else as a parameter, but you always have to know that secret somehow, right? Which is not good. Is there a better way? Yes, there is. Thanks for asking. So the better way to pass that is to actually replace these hard-coded values with a keyboard. So as you can see here, let me make this bigger so everybody can see that, but I don't know if I can zoom. There you go. So here, you notice that the administrator login and my password are actually pulled from Key Vault at the time of the deployment. So I'm referencing my Key Vault, and then down here, I'm referencing a specific secret inside my Key Vault, and that will go and populate my value inside my ARM template. So me as a developer, I don't really have to know where that's coming from. JP as an admin does not have to worry about where that's coming from. And maybe there are one or two people in the company that have access to those secrets. And then that means that I don't have the liability there. JP doesn't have any liability. And there's proper auditing and accountability when it comes to who's using those secrets and from where. So if an IT admin goes and checks into the secrets and they see that they're coming from some random location, they need to delete that secret and invalidate it and fix the security. So hopefully by now, my deployment has completed. So let's jump into our actions and see where we're at. Well, it's still running, I can see here. It might be stuck in the login process. Sometimes it does that. Yeah, I knew that. So let's see quickly what happens when you, for one that we've already run, right? So if I go back up, let me see actions. And then we can definitely come back on this one. So here we already run that. I've run that earlier on. So the first thing we did is actually log in to the template, to the Azure login with our credentials, right? Then I deployed my ARM template, and here it did all the magic things for us. You notice I'm using the Key Vault files, and then we deploy the Azure web app. And if we were to go and run it, this is the one running right now. You see, there you have it. This is all. That's the value that we updated recently. And if we go back on the home. This is running. I did not have to set anything on the Azure web app other than the managed identity to be able to speak to Key Vault. And that's it. I mean, that's all as far as I could take it, but I'm pretty sure that JP has something for us.
Yeah, so that's super cool, right? And it's been around, like the service principles have been around since the beginning of time, right, in Azure, and we've used them for a long time for doing automated deployments, for all sorts of deployment work, right? But there's another way, and that's what I'm going to show you very quickly here. So the first thing we're going to look at is I forked Christos's repository. So I have a copy of his repository, pretty much identical, except you'll notice I have no secrets in this repository at all, right? No. So there are no secrets. We have no service principle that we had to manually go and set up. And that's really important because the secret that Christos has in his repository, a year from now, it's going to expire. He's going to have to remember that. So he's going to have to put a calendar reminder to go and say, oh, my secret's expired. What am I going to do, right? So there are a couple things that we can do. To fix this. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to pull up the workflow file that I'm using to go and do this deployment, right? And this workflow, you'll notice I've tacked on the word MSI at the front. And for the most part, it's almost identical to what Christos has in his. Mm-hmm. However, we're looking at two major big differences here. The first one is something called runs on self-hosted. So if you're familiar with like DevOps, Azure DevOps pipelines, historically you could run an agent that runs on your own VM and does your build and your deploy from there. Well, GitHub has the same thing. It's called a GitHub Action Runner. And so I have a self-hosted GitHub Action Runner that's sitting in an Azure VM, and it's on like a spot instance, like a B series. It costs like 17 cents or something a month to run. It costs virtually nothing to leave the thing running all the time. So it's super, super cheap. So I've got this thing running on a self-hosted runner. And then the only other difference you'll notice is there's a different login block here. So this is a fork that I've been working on that I'm hoping the PR for will be accepted soon. But what it essentially does is enable managed identity so that instead of me having to create a service principal, manage that service principal, and then remember to go and rotate it later on, instead, mm-hmm. I can pass this in and with no secrets, get the same kind of deployment, experience that Christos showed. So nice. This has been running most of the day. So let's go take a look at the action history and let's go see what it did. So we've got one here. This one was from an hour ago. You can ignore all the other ones because it's not like I've run this 48 times today to make sure that it works. So here's one that we ran about an hour ago. And if we go look at the build, the steps are very, very similar to what you saw in Christos's. So we're going to go do a checkout and whatever. But now we're going to get to our login via Azure CLI step. And you'll notice that it's running ours or running mine, I guess. I should be a little bit more specific. But there's a bunch of goop in here and a bunch of stuff that doesn't really matter. The key is that we're using login dash dash identity. Mm-hmm. So one of the things you can do in Azure CLI is if you're in, say, a VM that's got managed identity turned on, when you do an AZ login, you can do an AZ login dash dash identity, and it will use the managed identity that's available on the machine, right? So again, there are no secrets in here. And so it's going to run identity through Azure CLI. I also have PowerShell enabled for this. And so now it's also going to use a system managed identity for that same thing. Some other things happen. Some other things run. We get a little bit of output just from some of the verbosity of the script. And then at the bottom, you see here, login successful. So now we've logged in. We have no secret anywhere. I don't even know what the secret is because the managed identity is rotated for me and handled for me. I don't even know what the secret is. I don't have to rotate it. I don't have to deal with it on my own. The only thing I had to do was go stand up a VM. So if we go look at the VM that's running, this is the VM. And so it's pretty wild how to hook one of these up. It's essentially you download a file, you unzip it, and you run a shell script. Once you've done that and it's linked up to your GitHub repository, now you've got this self-hosted runner. And so every time we go and submit a build, you'll see it says that it's connected to GitHub, that it's listening for jobs, and it's going to go and do the build, right? If we look at what's actually happening in here, there's really this main binary, this actions runner Linux x64. That's it. We run a config script to go and configure it, and then we go and run the script, which is running in the background right now. We go and run the script, and then it's available to start processing jobs. One of the neat things here, too, is you have the ability to make some changes and flip things around to use very specific versions of dependencies that you might have. So if your code has really super specific dependencies or it's old legacy code, you can install those here on your VM. And then that VM is the thing that goes and handles, your VM is the thing that goes and handles the actual build and then does the deployment from there as well. So this is cool. And it's a really neat way to start doing your deployments from your own machines that you control, that you own, that are running wherever. Of course, we're using them in Azure, so we get MSI. Yeah. There's one other thing. Now we're going to come back and close the bottom half of the circle, which is now let's figure out how can I do this in dev, right? Because I've been a developer for, 16 years, and so I've taken the art of laziness to whole new heights, and I really, my intention is to write code and get up, right?
Yep.
So let's go look at Christos's code. So this is Christos's code from earlier, and you'll notice there's this new credential that's listed here too. Mm-hmm. Now, I spent a lot of time this morning writing a new managed identity credential for the Azure SDK, only to find that somebody beat me by 4 days. I have a suspicion that this is going to be available sometime in the future. But what we're going to do is we're going to actually access Key Vault using a managed identity that's running locally on my machine.
A true managed identity, right? Not the account that I'm running like I was doing before, a true managed identity. Show us.
That's right. So this is going to run, this runs as me, right? So Azure CLI credential, this runs as me. Managed identity credential, well, this runs as an MSI in Azure, right? This runs as a local MSI. So you might be asking, how on earth do we get local MSI? But we'll get there in a sec. So let's go do a .NET run on this. And we're going to open up this app. And the only piece of code that I've added to this is this line, new hybrid managed identity credential. And then we've got some code that actually handles the credential thing. And if we look at the log, you'll even notice we're getting a token from this weird address, this localhost 4342 address, metadata identity, et cetera, et cetera. But the resource is vault.azure.net. So if we open this app, we'll go to localhost 5001. You'll see now we have, this was our config file that we pulled in, our misspelled config file that we've had all day and nobody's gone and actually changed it, updated it. We still have our misspelled config file. Now, I'm signed into Azure CLI, so you may be saying, oh, well, you're still using CLI, which I get it, right? So let's close this. I'm just going to delete these other ones so there's no question of impropriety, right? Because that's the last thing that we need. So now I'm just running with this hybrid identity credential, right? Get rid of that extra semicolon, so I don't think we need that. In fact, let's just delete the whole chain thing. I don't even need a chained one. So we're going to delete the whole chained one. We're going to put this in here. And now, oops, I'm missing a parenthesis somewhere. So now let's do a .NET run on this. So now we're going to run this. It's going to build, take it a second. Then we're going to go back up and run it again. You'll notice, again, it's getting a token because this is our first one, right?
Yeah.
And when we open this up again, and I there's nothing that I'm signed in with, now it says somebody's gone and changed the somebody's gone and changed the secret behind my back. So now we're accessing these secrets that are in Key Vault on a machine that has no identity really of the user, but the identity of me, or doesn't use the identity of me. Instead, it uses the identity of the machine. And so you may be asking, how on earth do we get MSI available on our local machine? And so that's actually something called Azure Arc. And I'm sure lots of people have talked about Azure Arc. Me personally, I thought, oh, Azure Arc, yeah, that's a data center management thing, right? That's System Center V2 and all that sort of fun stuff. But one of the really neat things that you get with Azure Arc is the ability to create a local managed identity. So here's my machine. That's the name of my machine, JPDA X8930. And I've onboarded it into Arc. Onboarding it into Azure Arc is both a free operation and a very quick and simple one. There's a PowerShell script that you run. So if you're a developer, adding your machine to Arc is something that's really, really quick and easy to do. If you're an administrator and an admin, you can bulk onboard machines. So there's a it's a really straightforward way to get these on. But actually running this takes maybe 2 minutes to run the script. And then you get all these extra things that you can do with your machine too, like you can capture logs for Security Center, and you can push policies and do update management, all sorts of cool stuff you can do. I don't really care about any of that. The only thing I care about is having a local MSI.
Yes.
So now I've got a local MSI. That MSI I have to explicitly give permissions to. If I go back to Christos's Key Vault, where we're operating as ourselves, if we look at the access policies, you'll notice I personally have no access policy for my account, my corporate account, me, who I'm signed in as. I don't have an account listed here, but my machine does. And so since my machine has get and list permissions on the Key Vault, my machine is now able to go and pull those files or pull those secrets out of Key Vault using the managed identity that's baked into it. So we're going to have a blog post out about this a little bit later on, really on all the specifics to do it. There's really one major difference between a local MSI that you would use in Azure VM or in Azure Key Vault, or sorry, in Azure App Service, and the one that you use on premises or on your VM, which is you essentially have to make the call twice in order to get some authorization data that you can go and stuff into the header. So I personally have been really, really, really super excited about it. If you like what you see, we're going to be doing a whole lot more of this on our show, which is at aka.ms/425 show. Where we do a bunch of, we call it an identity show that's about a whole lot more than just identity, right?
Yeah, feel free to join us. Thanks, everyone, for watching. Hopefully, you got a taster about how you can create apps without using any secrets whatsoever in local dev, in QA, in production, and then all the way back securing with MSI in your local environment or any other environment whatsoever. Doesn't have to be Azure anymore. So thanks for joining us. Any questions, Abdullah?
Hey, Christos, long time no see.
Yeah, man, I know. Missed you.
Thank you very much for the talk. I'm usually a client-side developer, so I don't know a lot about identity services, so thank you. I learned a lot today.
Cool.
Let's see. So we have some questions here. Let's start with Stefanos. The current .NET 5 authentication templates make use of Identity Server 4 packages with the LDS 4 team moving to their own company. What is the plan moving forward to support new features going forward when their support stops in 2022?
No comment. what they choose to do is what they choose to do is up to them. I don't have any sort of inside baseball on what the ASP.NET identity team is going to do with what they've already done. I'm sure that it'll be supported as it goes, as you know, per normal sort of lifecycle policy. I don't know what the plan's going to be now that that IDS4 is private.
One thing to clarify here is that by default now, .NET 5 templates should be supporting Microsoft Identity.web, which is the new library. So when you create a file in your project, what you should get is the new wrapper around MSOL to allow you to authenticate and get tokens from either Azure AD or B2C. So this is the default experience going forward. So if you want to work with Identity Server, that will be totally down to you to choose the right templates and what have you. But as JP said, we don't really have a comment about Identity Server's direction and strategy.
All right. I guess that's all the time we have for questions. But there are a bunch of questions on Twitter. I'm going to bug you both to go there and answer those questions.
Sounds good.
We'll do it.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks for having us.